Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio. We are in Cannes at the Cannes Festival, and we are here with Bu Yung Fang, director of Apprentice, the film showing at the intersection Un Certain Regard. Hello, Bu, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, and actually even better after your movie, because I liked it a lot. I was expecting something very strong, and it is. And it's a really solid drama that is has a strange point of view on a very difficult subject. Because the movie is about death penalty, and but the point of view is not the political one. You didn't make a political movie. You make a personal drama movie. What come you up with this choice?
Well, I've always been concerned with the issue of the death penalty. And when I thought of what I wanted to do for my second film, I decided that instead of telling a story from a prisoner's point of view, which I felt that it was something that we had already seen many times before in other films, I was curious about the point of view of the executioner. The person who actually needs to kill someone, and even more so someone who has just started or needs to start on the job, what he might go through and the dilemmas that he might face in making the decisions that he has to make. So I think it's a very dark subject, and so I felt that I wanted to balance the point of view of the protagonist. Basically, he himself, while he wears the uniform and he needs to essentially become the next executioner's apprentice, he has his duties, but at the same time, he is also a casualty of the capital punishment because his father was executed. So he embodies kind of both sides of the coin, and what would a character like that go through in the space of time within the film where he enters the prison, he meets the old hangman, and he learns of the processes that his father would have gone through and the kinds of moral and ethical dilemmas that he goes through.
The movie, it's very well crafted in the sense that you think that you want to work with this old executioner because he was the one that executed his father in order to make some revenge, and then you get that he has kind of duplicity in his character because he is like kind of fascinated by the thing, but he is also against it. So how did you manage to keep this perfect balance without going either on one side or the other?
I think the motivation of what Ayman goes through is very interesting because he finds himself in the prison space. Well, he joined the prisons because he believed in rehabilitation, and a large part of that has to do with his delinquent past and also the fact that his father had committed a horrible crime, and he did not want to be like his father, and so he believed that people that he could be on the right side of the law and wanted to help people change. But as he is transferred into the main prison of the territory, the maximum security prison, he finds himself in the same space or the same spaces that his father would have spent his last days. And as he is drawn to these spaces, he finds himself drawn to Rahim, who is the chief executioner, who then fills a void in him by sort of being a father figure for him.
Exactly.
And this is the man who killed his father, in a way, you know, but executed his father. So I think what propels Ayman forward on its own is already very compelling. But I think the position, I think, is of, in, I mean, as you said, balancing the point of view is inherent in his character because he himself has such a history, and he himself wants to step out of his father's shadows, long shadows.
Even if it seems that he cannot actually cut from his past because his sister can, and he seems to be always like linked and tied up to this kind of an obsession with his past.
Well, yeah, I think that it's a cycle that kind of perpetuates itself. I think as I was making the film, as I was writing the film, I had done a lot of research and I met a lot of people, and I've met with families whose breadwinners had been executed, and I found out that, you know, quite a few of them are trapped in a poverty cycle, because if their father had to commit such a crime, whether it's for drugs trafficking, usually it's for drugs trafficking, they already belong to quite an impoverished stratum of society, and so they're already quite poor. But then to have the breadwinner taken away, and it leaves the family with nothing. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, this cycle always perpetuates itself.
When did you prepare for the movie? How did you decide to design the executioner character as it is? Did you meet some of them too?
I managed to meet a couple of executioners, former executioners, who were willing to speak with me. Before I met the first guy, I had already read up a lot about him, and I had a certain impression of who he might be. And in fact, by that time, I had already a first draft of the script. But then I met him, and I remember as I shook his hand, I couldn't believe I was shaking the hand of someone who had executed so many people in his lifetime. But 5 minutes into the conversation, because he was such a charismatic and jocular, grandfatherly, very likable person, I forgot he was the hangman, and I was just listening to his stories and what he had to tell me. And after that, it threw me off completely, because I realized the character I had written, the character that was in my mind, was a caricature. And I needed to put my this human being that I had just met into the film, because I think it lends so much more dimensions to the human psyche behind capital punishment. Mm. I think I was referring also, I remember during that period I also read Eichmann in Jerusalem, Hannah Arendt's book about the banality of evil, and how, you know, for someone like him who is capable of pulling the lever and killing so many people in the name of the law, is also a family man and also a loved grandfather and father. And I felt like I really needed to humanize this person in order for the film to work. Mm-hmm. And therefore, for 3 months, I couldn't write until the dust started to settle more, and then I got a clearer picture of who the character was.
Yeah. Actually, one of the key moments of the movie is the dialogue in the car when Eamon is questioning the reason why they do me executions, and the old executioner is kind of angry because he's doing his job. He doesn't want to be judged. He doesn't want to be stigmatized. Mm-hmm. Was it something that you got from the interviews you did preparing the movie, the fact that those people are just doing their jobs, basically, so they are not evil, as you were saying?
It's kind of the two executioners that I spoke with actually had very, very different sets of motivations. For one, the first one I met was actually quite proud of what he had done, because the whole thing about an execution, as I had portrayed in the film, it's almost a performance, because the precision that goes into killing a person effectively, by having just the right amount of force and weight, mm-hmm. to snap the person's neck, is supposed to be the most humane way of killing, because it is instantaneous. Yeah. So he is proud of the fact he sees himself as being the one who is capable of reducing pain. So that's his way of rationalizing, yeah. what he does. The other person that I spoke with, saw it more as a job, and that he had a more pragmatic approach to it. If no one else was going to do it, I would do it. You know, so that was his point of view. So I think from person to person, it's quite different. But that's also what's fascinating, because over the course of writing, researching, and directing the film, you know, I've come to realize that the value of a human life varies with so many people, and that's just fascinating to me. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much, Boo. Thank you for your movie. Thank you for being with us. It was Boo Yung Fang, director of Apprentice, and Joel Cherby from Fred Film Radio from the Cannes Festival.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.